It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And away we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along. Good to see my friend, my co-host, Captain Mike.
Man, I'm good. Glad to be here. I got my rain jacket on, ready to go.
You know, that's one thing we started talking about with our guest here is going to join us in a second, about the month of May. And this has now been a record breaker for rain.
For the month. And the month's not over.
And what's interesting is, you know, the way averages work. People say, man, we're over the average temperature. We're below the average temperature. Averages are made of highs and lows. Yes. And you know the way it works. We have been so dry. Been so dry for 6 months.
That was a record.
I mean, remember we were talking, yeah, I mean, it wasn't just a month ago. We've been talking about, you know, being up on the river and fishing, you know, the river, and it's down in February, March, right?
April.
Mm-hmm. But there's a way things even out, and this is what happens. We didn't have rain. That's how you arrive at averages out there.
Well,
Bobby and I were talking about, you know, how the trout really hadn't – it took them forever to move out of the dead-end rivers, the bayous, out onto the flats and places because they didn't have to.
Right.
The salinity was still high. They didn't have the rain.
Yeah.
Well, those things are now starting to happen. It's just starting to happen here on the edge of June. So, you know, we got that going on. So a lot of rain out there. And, you know, we're going to do some shows. Hopefully it'll dry up enough to start talking about some of the planting we're doing going forward.
Right.
If you're wanting dove fields, those kind of things, you got to be doing it now, except you can't get in your fields.
That's right.
So there's that. And snapper season, we got a, you know, second weekend here. Of course, it opens and stays open. You and I, neither of us, people were texting me this week about it. We have no reports. Neither of us fished.
No, didn't get to fish. I had a motor problem, so I didn't get to go.
And I had a 25-foot boat and 3-foot seas problem. I didn't go either.
Yeah, and I think a majority, because I didn't see a lot of posting on Facebook and Instagram, so I don't think there was a lot of people that really got to get out and go snapper fishing. There was, don't get me wrong. There were some people that did, but not as many. It's not as many as would normally be on opening weekend.
Right. So, we got that. So, maybe by next week we'll have reports for y'all. We just don't have them this week on the show. But we'll just make up some stuff. Snapper fishing was great. Yeah. But hopefully we'll have some.
Well, fishing was good. The people that did go, that did post, they did, you know, they were good trips.
Some fantastic trips.
Yeah, good trips.
But like you said, instead of seeing like 38 of my friends post up Saturday night, it was 3.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And they whacked them, but
it was
3.
Yeah, they did. It was good.
But it wasn't all of them.
Yeah, our buddy Mark Kennedy, they wore them out. They had a really good trip.
If I remember right, he had some nice scamp, too.
Real nice scamp. You know, nice snapper, beeliners. They had a great trip.
The beeliner thing, that's a conversation like we had with Sean Powers before. Beeliners this year seem to be bigger than normal, and I say yes.
But me, you got to go out there and catch some.
I know. I got to do that. All right. Yep. And another thing happening here, it is the pregame month starts, you know, on Monday, the pregame month for the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, the month of June, as people get ready for the ADSFR. And I guess we'll find out exactly when tickets go on sale on that good stuff, because we have El Presidente, Chase Farley, from the 93rd Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Chase Farley, President, good to see you.
Good to see y'all. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. It is, it's that time. June comes up. Y'all, ticket sales usually start
when Father's Day weekend. Yeah.
By design.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. You gotta go get your dad a gift.
That's right. So let's talk about this. If y'all are new around here, welcome. We appreciate having y'all. This is what we're about to talk about is the planets. This planet Earth, planet we're on, the planet's largest multi-day saltwater fishing tournament is right here at home.
Guinness World Record.
Yeah. Official.
Official.
Yeah. And it happens right here at home. For the rest of us, we dig it. It's the rodeo. So talk to me about this. 93rd. First of all, congratulations, President.
Thank you. Thank you.
How many jobs do you have to do before you get to the president?
Man, you gotta politic a lot. Mm-hmm. It's been 7 years for me, so they finally suckered up. And, you know, I probably had to pay some people off. But. Sure. But they let me in.
You know, by the end of this, you're going, why did I ask for this job?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm at that point right now.
And it is. And it's something, I know it sounds cliche, but it truly, I've watched these JCs, I watch these guys. They do this. We think about rodeo, go, okay, they're really getting to work now at June and going into July, going into the Roy Barton. Y'all are doing this from, like, right, y'all take, like, what, a couple weeks off after the rodeo ends, and then you start working on that.
We're right back at it. Yeah, I mean, the week after we clean the site up, we have a board meeting. We're back to planning for it'll be the 94th. So yeah. This is a full-time job.
Talk to me about this and the kind of behind-the-scenes stuff. And we'll get into what to expect here. But behind the scenes, like, what do y'all do to get things ready? I mean, you know where you're going to have it. We got the facility.
We got the place. Okay. We got the place. So this year we got that Connex box that we've had for temporary structure. You know, we've just the old building down there was just getting dilapidated, and we really try to clean up the site. So you got the new structure that was there this year, mm-hmm. Where we do all of our operations. A VIP area deck up there now.
The observation deck, which
the
is
observation,
cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. Our sponsors and VIP love that. And so we did a brand new T-shirt room. It's completed. The Connex box is getting off the island. It has served us well for about 5 or 6 years, but I think we've plugged enough holes in it.
Is it still there?
It's still there. It's still there.
Can I just throw a suggestion in here?
Yes.
In the state of Alabama, if you're listening, let's sink that. And let's get the state to green light that and sink that for what a cool wreck and publish that number. Be, hey, what are you fishing on? The old Connex box.
The old Connex box. Yeah. I like it.
You like the rodeo?
Be perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be.
Yeah. So y'all working on that. So, physically, I know, with building things and cleaning up and doing all that. But also, y'all got to figure out all these things we talk about, the great prizes and all that stuff, that doesn't magically sprout from the sands of Dolphin Island.
No, I mean, we're even in Miami, you know, doing the deals with the contenders and, you know, picking out our boat for the following year, getting all the colors, meeting with Yamaha, getting the engine lined up, solidifying all the prizes and who's going to be sponsoring. And, I mean, it is a massive project that, you know, should be probably paid, but, you know, we love it for the outdoors and the conservation part of it. And it's really, to give back to the community in the way it does is just, it's phenomenal.
That it does. It's not just saying giving back to the community, that it's this fun thing we do. Over the years, the decades, that 93 rodeos, there's been a few missed in there. So let's say we're pushing close to 100 years that it's been in existence. The give back here. Talk about the money that's been given back to marine fisheries, for example.
Yeah. I mean, we cut a check to South Alabama and Dr. Powers and them. They're amazing. I mean, amazing first-class staff over there. And so we have helped fund, you know, their projects, their doctorate programs over there. I think we even gave an extra $10,000 toward the swordfish studies coming up. So I know they got a new contender over there to help, you know, go out and research those fish. Mm-hmm. So we've helped, you know, try to provide all that. And then we do the kids shopping tour at the end of the year, you know, where we give back to the needy, the community, that kids won't get gifts at Christmas. So we make sure that they're taken care of. And then we feed families at Thanksgiving as well and, you know, take it to the fire departments and everyone that helps us throughout the year.
So y'all know when you're supporting the JCs and the rodeo, Roy Barton, Big Rodeo, all that, where the money's going. I think that gets, and I talk about it because I think it gets lost because it's so fun and we're thinking about fishing and prizes and, man, with a jackpot prize. I'm into all that stuff, but I do like to take a pause and go, its purpose here, JC's a charity group, and y'all give back to people right here at home. So when people are out having fun, the backside of this, the back of the ledger is helping, that money's going right here at home.
That's 100%. Yeah, we're pouring back the money that y'all bring in to us. I think we even helped Dolphin Island get some medical, you know, they got the wheelchair paths down there. We helped, you know, get an elevator down there for them. So all of this money is going to support the community. We're giving it straight back into the community that, you know, brings
good
it
on
to
y'all.
Us.
Good on y'all. And I just want to make sure every chance I get to be a prophet for that message because we get, you know, and we'll come back here and talk more about the prizes and all that kind of stuff. But yeah,
it's a great point.
It's a fun rodeo. Y'all have the best, and you know what? Every other charity out there, and God bless them, they have cool ones. Once they have a fishing tournament, they all went, well, JC seemed to be kicking butt with this for all these years. Let's do this. And I fish theirs as well, and they're fun. But it's like, hey, we can raise money for charity, and we can fish. Yeah, I like that better mm-hmm. than some kind of fancy dinner where you got to hold your pinky out.
That's and right. Just let everybody know how many people fish this. How many people fished last year?
We set, I think, another record last year. I think we had over 4,000 anglers again.
I was thinking 41 or 42, what I remember.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, we were over 4,000 anglers again. Yeah. We got lucky with the weather again last year.
Yep. Well, it was a little rough.
It was shaky at the front.
Friday was rainy. How do I remember? I don't know. It was a bad storm
that had come through. I can't remember if it was a hurricane or what it was, but it was giant swells out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a little chop on the swells, but then it calmed down, and as every day went by,
it got better and better.
But even on Sunday, there was big swells out there.
But you remember that?
But it was slick calm, but it was big swells out there.
I trout fish, so I didn't have to deal with
that. I can't remember if it was a hurricane.
It was like a tropical depression.
Tropical depression or something. Because I normally go to Louisiana and fish, but I didn't. I stayed at Dolphin Island, fished out of Dolphin Island. First time in years that I did that.
And we're happy to have you around.
Yeah. I never did see you. I was fishing.
Yeah, you were fishing. I was
you
working.
You were down on the radio down
We don't get invited, do we?
No, he goes and just leads me to do the shows here.
Y'all got to work, man. Y'all got things to do now. You got a radio show to do. You got the rodeo to
Sean's
make sure.
Wires contest president or judges right. this year. So,
yeah.
so he gets fooled every year.
They keep having me back for some reason. I don't know.
And you're the president of it?
Well, I don't know.
He's one of the judges.
I've been there. Yeah. I don't know how many years as a judge I have to be before I get some special recognition, but I'm back again.
Yeah.
They've invited me to be back again. All right, coming back, more with the president of the 93rd Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, Chase Farley, right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Remember, check us out over on Facebook as well. And it's, you just have to put outdoors in it because our Facebook page, real popular for FM Talk 106.5. Go to the, I think, better but not as popular FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors Facebook page.
Just put outdoors in it. Yeah.
We don't have nearly the memes or the stuff up that our regular Facebook page does, but I'm going to get Mike to start putting memes on the Outdoors Facebook page.
What's a meme?
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we'll turn that over to Leanna and see what she can do with it. Also joined by the president, the emperor of judging, as I always call Dr. Sean Powers. He's the emperor of judging, the emperor of the other part of the Alabama DC Fish and Rodeo, Chase Farley, our guest. And I want to add this in, too, before I forget. And I probably had notes to come back to it later in the show. But coming up 2 weeks from today, I think it's right. Let me click here. Yeah, 2 weeks, the 13th. 2 weeks from today, it is the free fishing day in Alabama.
Yeah.
So, saltwater and freshwater.
Yeah. So you don't have to have a license.
You're right.
You just go fishing.
Go fishing.
Yep.
So. Yeah, how about that? Give me a day to go fishing.
Yeah, any Alabama resident or non-resident. I thought that was interesting. Any resident or everybody can go fish both freshwater and saltwater public waters without needing a fishing license or saltwater reef fish endorsement.
So. I can do that every day.
What's that? Free fishing day?
Free fishing. I can go every day free. I'm over 65. I don't have to have a license.
Oh, you know. But you still have to have a reef endorsement.
Yeah, but I got to go out to the reefs. I can go to the pier or wherever I want to.
That's right. Sure.
I can go off the beach or wherever I want to.
Okay.
I don't have to have a license. But I do have a lifetime license, so it don't matter.
Yeah, I got my lifetime when I was 29 or so, something like that.
20, yeah.
And so I've gotten some money out of it. You got a lot more money out of yours.
Well, I bought mine, and I was number 80-something that bought it.
And it was actually written on a piece of parchment with a quill pen when you got it.
Chiseled in.
Therefore, the people of Alabama give Mike Ward a right to.
I bought mine, I bought my wife's, I bought my son, I bought my daughter's. And they were both just kids. They mm-hmm. were, I mean, they were that's like how you four win. Or five yeah. years old, or Michael might have been 10 years old. But, I mean, I bought them all, bought all those. But it was, back then it was like $200 and something.
Yeah, it had increased. It might have
been $300. I don't remember what it was.
It was probably five when I got four or five, somewhere in there. But it still included salt water, which it doesn't.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I didn't have to pay anything for that because I was grandfathered in.
And I got in under that
yes.
window, too, but it's yeah. different these days. All right, I know that we want to just reminisce yeah, about how old Mike is and his lifetime license, but we got rodeo to talk about here. First of all, let's kind of go through the schedule here. First, you said tickets go on sale Father's Day weekend.
Father's Day weekend.
So 3 weeks from now? Yeah, that's 3 weeks from now. Yeah, 3 weeks from now. Father's Day weekend, the tickets go on sale.
Online and in stores.
Okay, yep. And let's talk about the stores, too, and your sponsors there.
Yeah, we got Academy. You can go back there, as always, Pronto Pond, Tackle This, Shoot That, and I'll get back to you on the other one. I'm trying to think.
and
we've kind of condensed it down a little bit, but you can still go online and get the tickets on Fishing Chaos.
And you can if you want to go the old-fashioned way and go to a store and go to these are great retailers, local folks, I'm for it. But you end up having to use the, you're not going to, if you're, somebody says, well, I'm just not going to do anything online. It's integrated, which I love because you can see results and all yep. that. You can buy a paper ticket, but you are going to integrate into the.
We're going to take care of it on the docks for you.
Yeah.
Yep. As soon as you weigh in the fish, we'll integrate it. It's not a problem.
So it is going online.
Which support those stores. They got tackle and everything there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'd love for you to support local. Go in there, get you a hard copy book with the ticket and, you know, buy some product while you're there.
It's also so the structure here. So we got the first thing on my list, and Chase, you can correct me if I'm wrong. So there's ticket sales. Next thing is going to be Roy Barton.
That's correct. July 11th, sponsored by Piggly Wiggly, our hometown grocery store.
Very cool.
Yep. Casey and their team have been great. They're going to give all the hot dogs.
I was about to ask, because Mike is very worried.
He is very, yeah. He's, you know, we got extra.
I don't worry
for Mike.
About the ice cream.
That we got Bluebell is bringing you the ice cream, yeah. Mike.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Yep. Pepsi is providing all the drinks. Yep. Pepsi's providing all the drinks. They're going to have some awesome activities. You know,
and Pepsi's a new sponsor.
Pepsi's a new sponsor for the next 10 years.
That is
Buffalo
awesome.
Rock has really been amazing. We
awesome.
Thank Coke for what they were with us for 75 years. They were an amazing sponsor, and Pepsi's going to step up for the next 10. So we've really, and they've been very good to us.
You know what I love too? Once again, we're going to do some of these things that you've been fishing rodeo forever. You go, oh, I know. But there's new people all the time. So while I'm sure Chase and JC's would like you to get your Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament tickets ahead, it's a really kind of cool thing. If you up and decide on Saturday, that you and the kids are going to go fishing, you take them out fishing, you can get your ticket.
That's correct.
And then weigh the fish in.
That's correct.
You can just...
Or you can weigh your fish in.
You'll buy the ticket and then go weigh
your fish. Yeah. Like so, you don't have to have it ahead of time like you do for big rodeo.
Right, right.
I'm sure that they would like you to have your ticket ahead of time.
Yes, yeah, so it would make the process easier for us.
Yes.
But you could do it. Like I always tell the story, I had my nephews. They were so cool because the fish was not going to win. And he caught this croaker. And he wanted to weigh it in, and we came in with a one-gallon Ziploc bag with water.
Yeah.
He didn't want the croaker to die. And... JC was like, yeah, good. We'll weigh your fish. So and he was so proud.
Yeah. Just see the grin
yes.
on the kids' faces that weekend. That's what it's all about.
I mean, we came walking up with a Ziploc with water and a croaker in it.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter. That's what it's all about. Don't just
have
the kids
fun.
Need, the kids need to weigh a fish.
That's
it
right.
don't matter what the size of it is. They got a chance to win or they don't have a chance to win. They just need to take a fish up there and weigh it in, get their hot dog and the ice cream.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
And Mike will be over there eating hot dogs and ice cream with
me. I always get him to get me an extra one.
And you know, we talk about different categories and all that, but one of the just the brilliant things about the rodeo is to keep us engaged to the end is that overall drawing. Right. I mean, there's because it keeps somebody like me. I'm like, oh, I was in second place on speckled trout for about 17 minutes, and now I'm nowhere to be seen on the board, but I'm still engaged.
That's
I'm
right.
still engaged because I could be drawn.
100%. And we're giving away a 26 bay contender.
Oh, wow.
With a 250 Yamaha on the back of her.
And
we picked her out in Miami.
Yeah.
And once again, y'all, that doesn't mean you could not win a category, or you could win a category. It doesn't matter. If you came in, you entered your fish.
The legal fish in 33 categories we got.
I mean, just the minimum size for the rodeo, you check those out, you weigh that fish in, that's it.
That's all you got to do.
You got a chance.
Which is,
I mean, you get on the board or not. It doesn't matter whether it makes it on the board or not. You just wait to fish in.
Yeah, which I love because it really, because there'd be tournaments where, especially over 3 days like that, but you'd be like, I'm out. I'm not going to pay attention anymore. And this, you're like, I'm still engaged. It's Sunday afternoon. I'm still engaged.
That's right. Waiting for that phone call.
Yes, absolutely right. And I love seeing the people who've won the boats. Like, I'll be fishing, somebody pulls up with the logoed boat up for a rodeo win. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Must be nice.
Yeah, it must be. Exactly. All these years, it's time to just look at other people's boat. Maybe 1 year will be my year. All right, let's also talk about entertainment, because I've joked with Presidents Pass that for a while there, I was like, are we having a music festival that also has some fishing? Because, I mean, this has gotten, it's a joke, but it's gotten big.
It's gotten big. It's gotten big. And my wife is a big, you'll appreciate this, 90s country. She said, I want 90s country the whole weekend. I said,
oh, wow.
Yes, okay. Miss Fish, whatever you'd like. So Thursday night, which is the Liars Contest, sponsored by Columbia, is going to be Bruce Smelly. I mean, you can't beat Bruce. He's a local legend here, and he's going to be performing. And then Friday night, we got Mustache the Band, which we all know is,
oh my gosh,
90s
out.
Country
yeah.
all the way through. He wears a life vest on the stage. And a cowboy hat. So
I mean, there's two
can't
things
get
going.
More 90s than that. And then Sunday or Saturday, we got Ryan Balthrop.
Yep.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And then a Cat Deal on Sunday.
Very good.
Yeah.
So, and there are people, as it never made sense to me, but I'd see people. I'm like, hey, how's fishing today? They said, oh, we didn't fish. We're here for the music.
That's
I'm
right.
Like, but fish. They're like, no, we're just here for, I mean, y'all bring people in and onto the island just to come hear the music.
And it's BYOB.
Yeah.
I mean, we brought that back 2 years ago, and people absolutely love that. So bring your cooler, no glass, but bring whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll have.
And we also, I just, you know, the Liars Contest, too, as we get kicked off that Thursday night of Big Rodeo Weekend.
That's right. And you get fooled every year.
Yeah, every year. Every year.
Yeah, we got some cool judges coming in for that as well.
And then there's me. There's cool judges and then there's
That's
me.
That's right.
But it's a lot of fun, and it's great to see, like, you talk about seeing people you hadn't. There's people I see at the Liars Contest that I see once a year.
They come every year.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see them any other time, but we catch up what happened the last 364 days at the Liars Contest.
Yeah.
I don't even see them on Friday, Saturday, Sunday around the road. I see them at the Liars Contest. It's a big deal. People
it
come
is,
out.
It's huge.
Mean,
so how many people come up and actually tell stories?
It depends
on
the
I've
year.
I've never been there.
I know, because you're already gone.
But
I know, fancy. You're in Louisiana.
But how many? But I'm just curious. Is there 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 or 50?
No, it's not 50, but it's...
I think we have like at least 10.
Yeah, 10.
Yeah, at least 10.
That's about right. Yeah, about 10. I don't think I've ever seen... I don't think I could sit through 50.
Yeah, well, no. I didn't know. I've never been there.
And there's some amazing liars and some very funny ones. There's some you go, you should have thought that through a little bit more.
Check.
Yeah. And they keep going, and they need to look at the judges' faces and say, you're not, this is not your year. But it's always, it's always a lot
of
fun.
Come back next year.
Right. But I mean, there's some people, and there's some, you know, it's just like looking at football. You know, there's certain programs that are going to come back strong each year. There's certain people you go, all right, so and so's, you know, shown up. Man, he's a prize fighter in this. He's pretty good, or she's really good in this. And, you know, they kind of eyeing each other as they're walking around. You know, they're at the rodeo site getting ready. They're...
So do the same ones win, typically? Or
have
they won multiple
champions?
Years?
We've had returning champions.
Oh, yeah, there
before.
Have been.
Yeah, okay.
And you know when they come up, you're like, ooh, okay, where are they bringing this year?
Okay.
So, I didn't think about that you had never, I guess, because you're offshore.
Mike needs to do it.
Absolutely.
No,
he won't do it because he's not fishing. All right. More information, where's your website?
Website, July 17th to the 19th is Big Rodeo, 5 a.m. Cannon Blast.
Okay. ADSFR.com.
That's it. .com.
All right. Chase.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Chase.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. And, it's going to be rodeo time before you know it here. Snapper season's open. Mike and I have nothing to report because we neither of us went.
Neither one of us got to go, but hopefully get to go this week.
Good. Good, good.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, I did – I don't know if I – yeah, we were talking about it off the air. Maybe I did say it beginning of the show. I haven't been able to do anything on the wildlife habitat side either because it's been
you
so wet.
You can't do anything right now.
But so I have wet. Been planning. I have been planning. And some of the things I'm going to do this year – something new, because I mean I will plant some beans. They'll get eaten. They won't, and you want them to get eaten, but they will get eaten right away. Not get to make. Soybeans are great if you got 10 acres.
Yes,
in one place, 15 acres.
Yes,
you can fence your soybeans, but if you fence your soybeans for how long? Because you want them eating the soybeans, right? That's the point of having the soybeans.
That's right.
I'm probably going to fence just a smaller area of sunflowers this year. Because you talk about heartbreak. I mean, for a dove field, sunflowers are great, except they get eaten.
Every time.
Every time.
Yeah. Now, are you going to fence those in? I know we've talked about this in the past, just me and you've talked about it. Are you going to try to fence them in this year?
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing. So in about a 4-acre field, I'm going to do about 1.5 acres of sunflowers, and I'm fencing those. So there's a guy who lives not too far from me, got to be friends with here recently. And his sunflower stuff is amazing.
Yeah.
And he has lots of doves. He has doves this time of year. You know, he went out to the house last weekend.
He's probably got your 9 over his field right now.
Right. My 9 have gone over. He's incredulous, too. I'm like, we're not holding a bunch of doves. He's like, you're not that far from me. I'm like, yeah, but it looks a little different. Sunflowers are really one of the keys.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be all you had to do is have, and I think if you're in the right place, which oddly enough, you and I have talked about it. I'm kind of in the right place area. It's just that area of Mobile County has just not been as good lately. But it used to be, like I remember doing this up in Washington County, I could have 5-10 acres of millet, okay, and then come in there and either plant it early enough it dies on its own, or I terminate it with glyphosate, and then I burn it, and we shoot some doves.
Yeah.
It's not enough anymore where I am.
No, but I mean, you've just got a perfect place.
So sunflowers really are the
with
people
the power
around,
lines and stuff that's on your property.
All those things are good.
Yeah.
But I think it's just the sunflower game and also the fact that when you do sunflowers, you know, using pre-emergence and all that, you have just dirt underneath. You don't have and I would have that after burning areas, but doves are going to want – they're going to see those sunflowers and see that just dirt underneath versus grasses and
right.
They come to it. So that's when – but on the deer side here, kind of got sidetracked because thinking about birds, I always do. On the deer side of this, something new I'm trying and talked about it. Then shout out to our buddy Lee Davis at G&D.
Yep.
So I'm going to do some mixes, some of the WMS mixes for because I'm saying like the soybeans and the corn, and if you're in the right place, it can be great. But you got to have lower deer densities and big, big fields.
Are you planting that like the group 7, group 8
but
beans?
But I'm not even like – but I don't have a big enough area that those will even do because even if you have a group 7 and so what Mike's talking about is some beans are like all I got to do is make a bean, right? I just got to make a seed,
yeah.
And then you get some that are like keep growing, putting on leaves. So you get to like a 7, but even with a 7, if you're going to plant and I'm not
it's
trying
fast
to,
growing and if a deer nips off
it splits and
it'll still keep growing and keep growing. Unless you got too many deer.
That's what I'm saying. Or you don't have enough space.
Yeah.
And so, because I can't dedicate 10, 12 acres to them, even with a 7. If you do an acre of 7, and maybe it depends on where you are. Like, you know, it all depends, of course. If you have a low deer density, you can do that.
If you get I don't know about an acre. Maybe a couple, 2 or 3 acres, maybe. Maybe.
So 3 acres. Yeah. I've done 3 acres before. One place that has lower deer density could put 3 acres of 7, group 7, and make.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want, it's not like you're trying to make anything for a magazine cover. You just want to keep it growing and the deer eating it. We want them to eat it.
Right.
Just not wipe it out to where it can't grow. My place, 3 acres not enough.
Yes.
You just can't do it with beans. Yeah. So.
But if you fence it.
Okay, so let's talk about that. If you fence it. Now, here's the key. You fence it, but then when do you take the fencing down?
Yeah. I mean, that's your problem. I mean, you want it, the deer start eating it
right.
Day one. You
because
know?
They're built, the bucks are, everybody thinks about, man, I'm going to get some protein to them bucks in August. And man, they've done, even right now, they've done a lot of the work on what their antlers are going to be
absolutely.
For the year.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you need protein from before they start doing the horns, making the horns. Before they even, you know, start popping out ahead at all, you need to have them on high protein.
So, yeah, you could fence your beans.
Yeah.
I mean, go out there and look at them. They're beautiful and fence them out and all that. But then they're not eating the beans and getting the protein. So, so something else I've looked into here. So I'm doing some mixes, and I'll do a little bit of beans just because I like to waste money. But I really don't, but it's how it feels. I'm doing joint vetch this year.
Yeah.
And I know it's gotten a lot of discussion on podcasts and stuff out there. And so shout out to Lee Davis. Got some from him. And I'm going to do some areas, Ashenominy or joint vetch in some places because it can take the higher deer density. There, you know, what Lee and I talked about and what I've read on this thing, you can have high deer density and do an acre of it and it'll still keep making. It takes a while to come up. It doesn't just jump up after the first rain. But after that, it does, and it carries on until you get a hard frost.
Yeah.
So it's actually, I mean, they're still in it, and sometimes we don't get a hard frost till Thanksgiving.
So what's the protein?
It can be upwards of 30%.
Oh, man.
Now, it just depends on your soil.
Right.
Your amendments.
Right.
But that's perfect.
But,
it's over 20.
If it's 15 or 20, that's
still
beans
good. Are 20,
over,
22,
over,
right.
Over 20, it'd be really good.
Yeah,
yes.
Over 20 is always like the grail you're
that's
trying to
right.
go for.
Yes.
And it's it shows up to be over 20.
Yeah.
Like, but it can be as high as 30, but I think that's like saying, and also if all the things line up, you can have a perfect, you know, that's not normal, but over 20 for sure.
Hey, that's really good.
Yeah,
and if you get
it doesn't cost you the amount of amendment that you got to do the soil,
right?
And once it gets up, it will shade out. Now you got to get ahead of the weeds, but once it gets up, and you plant it tightly enough, it shades out a lot of the weeds, so you don't have to. You're not coming in and spraying a Roundup on it because I'm not planting them in rows like beans or corn.
Yeah,
it ends up making its own shade and keeping the weeds at bay.
So are you planting them in your field?
I'm doing separate fields. I'm doing some that are. Separate different fields.
But you're planting your vetch in your fields.
Yeah, in some of the fields. Not my normal. I'm not going to do them. I thought about that. I'm not going to do them in the patches that we do for winter, for deer season.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't want to have something that carries on through November and I'm having to, the deer are still using it. And, you know, late summer, we talk about that a bunch. Late summer is a tough time on deer around here.
Sure it is.
Before acorns start falling.
Yeah.
And once all the stuff that's green and growing right now gets grown and doesn't taste as good, right, there's that period stuff on them. And so this stuff is supposed to, this will be my first year, so I'll let you all know, how it does for me. But it's supposed to really be, it shows out during that period of time as well.
Yeah.
So we'll try that. And and a bunch of different mixes and stuff. This deer vetch is, like I said, an experimental year for me, but read about people, and I trust Lee too that it can take the pressure. So if you're in a hunting club like I was forever, and we only got our biggest field's an acre and a half or acre, you're like, I can't plant it. This is something they're saying you could plant.
Yeah. Well, one thing you said there that people need to do is if you have questions about it, Lee Davis is the expert on that. I mean, he not only sells it, but he grows it.
He
can tell you what works, what doesn't work in our area.
That's right.
So that's very important. So I would go to G&D Farm out off of Tanner Williams Road, out on the other side of Big Creek Lake, and see Lee Davis, and he'll fix you up, and he can tell you what – he can save you some money from – you don't have to experiment. He can tell you this is going to work and this is going to work. If you only got a half acre, you can't plant this. If you got 3 acres, you can plant it or whatever. He'll tell you need this much ammonia nitrate, this much whatever. So people need to go see Lee in this area to get him to help you out.
It's good, too, as they do. They break down. So you can buy stuff. But, this deer vetch is new to me.
Yes.
So instead of buying – big bags, multiple big bags of it, and not knowing how it's going to perform. I trust Lee, but they break down the bags to smaller ones. So you could buy like a 15-pound bag. If you only do 1 acre, you're just trying it this year, you could buy it at a smaller amount than just the big, the regular big bags.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Yeah. I don't know. Is jointed vetch expensive?
It's fair. Yeah. I mean, it's not Clearfield sunflower expensive, but it's,
Yeah.
But it's not like buying just wheat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's more money. So you may say, okay, I want to make sure this is something I want to do. I'm not going to buy this whole bag. Well, ask them. Sometimes they have them already ready to go on the aisles. If not, a lot of times we'll go back there and get you a, you know, get you, I only need 10 pounds. I need 15 to do this, something like that. So we'll see how that goes.
Lee is accommodating. Let me say that.
Yes.
He will do whatever he can do to help you out. That's one thing about Lee. He will take care of you.
And also, you know, this is the not fun world of habitat management. You know, you can get everybody to show up when it's time to plant your patches at the club, you know, in the fall. Because the season's coming and all that.
Yeah, when it's a week or 2 weeks before the season, yes. They start thinking about it.
Everybody's excited. But, you know, you and I know, like a couple of weeks ago, I started, and I was actually a little bit late this year, putting out lime.
Yeah.
And, man, if you hadn't checked your pH, I mean, some of y'all are lucky and have places that it holds good. But if you're in sandy loam soil around here, chances you got acid soil.
Yeah, you need lime.
And it's expensive. I say this every year. As expensive as fertilizer is, get your pH right, because you have to use less fertilizer when you have a neutral pH.
That's right.
Than you do with the acidic pH. You waste fertilizer when your soil is acid.
It grows. It will make your product grow.
Oh, it makes it grow.
Your stuff won't grow.
And it makes the deer like the taste
of it
better.
So. That's right.
I know it's not as fun as all the other stuff, and there's no exciting bag with a big buck on it for, you know, a buggy full of lime, but it's worth doing.
It is.
Coming right back. Shouldn't even get in that conversation during the news break.
I know.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.
It's depressing.
It is. You know, we need rain. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. You know, this is a record rainy May.
Yep.
But it couldn't have happened at the worst time.
You're right.
For turkey hunters.
For turkeys.
For turkeys. Yeah, not turkey hunters. For turkeys and for quail.
Yeah.
Although quail re-nest multiple times. But you were talking about that on our place, that so much of the area that has cover for nesting. So I try to leave, and I'll put some pictures up soon, I think, where I have brooding cover on one side of a road where it's been burned, you know, and then on the other side, I have nesting cover. A lot of those are that nesting cover, air quotes here, is along drainages on our farm.
Yeah.
And I don't have it for a fact because I didn't go survey them, but I worry that I have a lot of hens nesting in there.
Yeah.
And we're not on, we're just on regular, we're not on like the Tom Bigbee, Mobile, Alabama. We're just on, you know, part of the Escatapa drainage. And water got up so high, I could see where the grass was laid over and the leaves were in the fields and all that, where I worried that, I mean, and it had gotten high.
How far out?
50, 60 yards, maybe more in some areas.
Yeah.
And these are creeks that you could wade across and not get your shorts wet.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you could wear those stupid pants people used to wear, like the not jean, and not, they weren't shorts, but they weren't full length. You know what I'm talking about? The clam diggers. They wore the. And you could get.
I never wore those.
I didn't either. But you know what I'm talking about. They could get it. Yeah. You could get across the creek without getting those things wet.
Yeah.
Those things ended up being 12 feet deep. You know. I mean, the week ago Friday, rain. So I worried about. I don't know. I have not seen a poult on camera.
Well, that's why I was going to ask you. I mean, normally this time of year, you've seen poults, and you keep cameras out year round. So mm-hmm. it's not like. You take your cameras up. You don't know what's going on around your property.
Right.
You do.
Yeah.
So
no poults.
Yeah.
You know, I got two hens that didn't get bred. Either they can't get bred anymore or something like that. They show themselves. All the other hens went away, which means they went to nest, which is right. good. But I don't see them back out with poults. I don't know.
Yeah.
They come back out, don't have poults. That you know, I mean, all the other things, and you know, I trap and do things and. Manage habitat to try to give them a chance. It's just part of nature, but it just stinks. You know, you every year, just wanting a big hatch.
Yep, you want to build turkeys, your herd up.
You know,
yep.
And I have a very soft hand on our turkeys. You know, I try to build that population, and there's things you can do, but you can do everything right. And you can also get a May that is the wettest May on record here.
Yep.
And it's just the worst month.
I agree with you.
For the flood.
It's going to be bad for the turkeys.
Now, I don't think it got all the nests or whatever, but, you know, it also, though, the wet hen theory. I mean, you know, I mean, turkeys smell. Turkeys have a smell.
Yeah.
And, you know, a wet turkey, you ever pick one up that's, you know, got dew all over it, or they got a heck of a smell. If you can smell them, I'll tell you right now, bobcat can smell them, a coyote can smell them.
Sure, absolutely.
And so, also, the more rainy days and the more smelly that hen is, the more obvious where the nest is. And well, so I worry about it.
I mean,
this is the stuff I worry. I should just be fishing, not worried about it. But
they also say that the pulse will, you know, look up and they'll drown.
I've heard that.
I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've always heard. That they
I think
will.
What happens is those little buggers get. I mean, they're barely making it.
Yeah,
and if they get wet. And you say, it's not cold in May, but let it get to be 62. These are little, you ever raise chickens and chicks and all that? They're just figuring out. I mean, they could get a breeze at 60 and a light mist and they're dead. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They get cold and die.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think a lot, you know, even if you got through the nest, they hatched them, mama's got them, they get wet day after day. Now, you've seen the hens. I mean, they'll put their wings out and cover them and do all that. But if it rains day after day after day after day, maybe everything's fine. Maybe I'm worried about nothing.
Well, hopefully it will be. Now, what about the two strutters that you had in your pasture with the two hens? Are they still there?
Still
strutting
there
every day?
Yep.
They gobbling every day?
I hadn't been listening because this last week I worked the morning show, so I had not listened. But the week before there, I worked. But I worked the morning show last week too. I guess it would have been the beginning of the previous week. Yeah, I heard them. They're still gobbling.
Okay, those two hens that didn't breed, the gobbler's still out there with them in
the
field.
That's right.
Yeah, how about
that? They must be sick of that stuff the gobblers do to them.
Yeah.
But they're still got, you know, which is also, I mean, that part makes me happy, the number of jakes and adult birds, gobblers, are still around. Yeah. I love that carryover. We cut our property out, you know, we stopped shooting at a certain number. And that's great, and that excites me. But it really is balanced by not seeing poults. That I'd probably trade those gobblers for a big hatch of poults.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, maybe you're worrying about nothing. Maybe your camera's just not showing them right now.
That's true. Believe me, cameras don't show everything.
No, it don't.
Yeah, the idea that your camera's going to show you everything goes on your property—that is not true.
No,
I mean, you go. Even somebody who runs a bunch of cameras, like I do. There's a whole bunch of places the camera's not pointed at. And it's not like I got feed sites out. It's not like I got a camera over any kind of.
Well, that's another thing. This time of year, you don't have corn or something to bring them to.
No.
Say, okay, here they are. They're coming to the corn.
No. Yeah. There's starting, you know, in February, you know, when we're out in front of turkey season, there's no feed anywhere on our place. So, you know, we feed something, bait some during deer season.
Right.
You know, but at that point, there's no more, which is actually funny, too. Got in a discussion the other day on the show about bears. Bears are so trained. Bears start, we have a lot of male bears come through just on their big cycles. You know, they make these big tours around to try to find girls. And these feeders hadn't had feed in them 3 months or whatever. They still knock them over to look.
Oh, they smell it. They still smell corn in there.
Where it
they
was,
smell
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. And it's funny, though. I got some funny pictures. They knock them over, and you see them looking there, and then, like, the disappointed look on their face when there's nothing in there. You're like, ha-ha, ha-ha.
Yeah. But they still tear them up.
Yeah, and spin feeders, they will. These are mostly the gravity feeders, and there's a bunch of different makers. These happen to be Boss Bucks.
Yeah.
The only tearing up I've really ever had is on where the three nozzles come out. I've had some bears chew them, and you just replace that part.
Yeah.
They knock them over, and then they kind of get disgusted and walk off and go, sure, do it somewhere else. All right. By next week, hopefully we'll have a snapper report for y'all. Maybe a speckled trout report. That's what I'm trying for.
Maybe even a king mackerel report.
Okay. I like it. All right. We'll do it next week for another edition of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.